Well, as I mentioned, Beth and I had a wonderful vacation. It was really good. We had some time just to stay at home and rest. I really like that. We explored and discovered some of our region. We didn't go back to the West Coast as we've done in the past. We stayed around here. We spent some time with some family up in the cities and friends as we traveled. We did some kayaking, and we saw four state capitals. We actually toured three of the four. That was real fascinating for me. I don't know how much Beth liked it, but I was thrilled. It was a great time to relax and refresh, and I want to thank you for your generosity as a congregation to allow your pastor to be healthy, to give him a break, even though I like being here, very, very much so. I love being here. It's good to relax and just step out of the pattern every now and then. Hope you enjoyed Laurel and Philip's sermons. They have become very good friends, and I appreciate them. So thankful for them for doing that. Well, today we continue with our series that we've had, very short series this summer, on women of the Bible. These two women, Lois and Eunice, not a name we often hear, were the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. Timothy, famous, of course, through books that Paul wrote to him, and being a co-worker and a student of Paul's. And I have to say, this sermon especially, is an application-rich environment. Very much so. I say that because no matter who you are, you're going to take these lessons and learn what these two women did as they raised young Timothy. What they did, what these two women did, is mentioned just briefly, only once by name and twice referring to what they did in their early years of Timothy's life. But they're key to God's plan for us here on this earth. They're key to things that we need to know God would want us to know. So, if you are a parent of a young child, or sometime will be, you'll really like this. If you're a parent of a teenager, you'll probably be desperate for some of this. If you're an empty nester or a grandparent, or someday might be, you probably need this. Even if you're an aunt and uncle, I'll put you together with them. If you're a kid, you need to know this. Because you'll grow up someday, but even now, you need to know God's plan for your life. If you're a member of this church, we especially want you to know and understand this plan that God has for us to help other people draw closer to Jesus Christ. As Beth and I were driving home, this last Sunday, actually Sunday afternoon, my phone buzzed, as it often does while we're driving, and I have it set there. And Beth always gets a little upset if I start looking at it, so she grabs the phone and looks at me. And she says to me, well, I'm driving, I'm keeping my eyes on the road, 10 and 2 o'clock and all that. She says, oh my, Jerry Lewis just passed away. And I don't know if you remember Jerry Lewis. I was shocked to find out he's the same age as my mother, 91 years old. I remember when I was young, he was in silly movies all the time. If you know Jerry Lewis, you know most of his movies were silly. He was a comedian. We saw him on TV a lot. But not only was Jerry Lewis a comedian, he was also an actor. But not only was he an actor, but he wrote, he directed, and he even produced movies. And I had no idea that he taught film at UCLA. And do you know who two of his students were? Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. I didn't know that. I had no idea he was a pioneer in how movies were made and made it so they do things based on what he did earlier years. Today's generation know him as the host of the Muscular Dystrophy Association telethons. How many of you have at least seen passing by the telethons? Yeah, I think there's an older picture of how we see him now. There he is, yeah. No. See, he's still crazy even at an older age. And he raised something like $3 billion over the course of that. I mean, that's a lot of money for people to give to. That is unbelievable. Well, the next day, I'm getting ready to get back into the rhythm of my week and prepare a sermon. I'm thinking about actually Lois and Eunice in the lessons. I had done some study before I left about them. And I was listening to a radio show, and they started talking about Jerry Lewis, and they told me some of the things I just told you, and a little bit of information. One of the things he did when he was 23, he hired his secretary to sit in the front row of a show, and she would time from when he said his joke to the laugh, and then how long the laughs were. I mean, the guy was serious about comedy. Serious, but never mind. That was a good joke. But probably the biggest surprise for me and what they had to say was how involved his parents were. His parents were both involved with the theater. His mom, they were involved with theater in, vaudeville. And his mom played the piano a lot. She could play anything by ear. She could play sheet music. She was very talented. And his dad was very involved with acting. And the two of them just taught him everything from when he was a little guy to as he grew up. They were very involved with his life. And then the announcer said something, wow, I never thought of it that way. They made the statement that he was marinated in the theater. Marinated. It struck me. Because I started thinking, wow, did I marinate my kids in anything? And I could ask you the same question. What do you marinate your kids in? I mean, what do you surround them with? What do you soak them in? What do they soak up? As parents, we have a responsibility. You know, there's many good things in life, wonderful good things, things God wants us to enjoy. But sometimes those things take center stage. Sometimes those things become more important than what God would want us to know. Sometimes those wonderful good things that God created and he put there for us to enjoy become more important than him. And we need to be careful about that. As parents and relatives, adults who have influence over children, and all of us as Christians who have influence over other people, we do have a responsibility. And we have to ask the question, how do we contribute to the children around us? How do we influence their lives? What do we surround them with? Later in this hour, we're going to baptize a young one. And as a church body, we want to be part of a child's upbringing. We want to be part of a child learning and growing in Jesus Christ. We want to take hold of all those opportunities God gives us as a church to be responsible and contribute to the upbringing of a little one, to help them grow close to God, to know God, to grow close to him, to walk with him more effectively. So our focus today is the grandmother and mother of Timothy, Lois and Eunice. We read their names, as we read earlier, and we also see constant encounters with the Apostle Paul in Scripture. Acts 16, 1 through 3 reads, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Interesting. Timothy grew up in a home that was kind of split, philosophy-wise, maybe even theologically. And he was raised. His greatest influence was his mother and grandmother as he grew up. They were Jewish. They were Jewish and they were Christians. They provided an early, godly, Christian education for Timothy, and they brought him up appropriately. Paul confirms to Timothy that their teaching was right on target with the gospel. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 in the NLT reads, but you must remain faithful to these things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus. And he must have had great wisdom. For Paul to identify him, Paul traveled the known world in that area, and he ran into a lot of people. And Timothy had to be exceptional. His mother and grandmother had to be exceptional. Lois and Eunice were diligent. They were intentional in their roles as Timothy was developed and formed as a child to an adult. I found it interesting, especially his father, chances are, might not have been a Christian. He was Greek. And I think of all the homes that are split, or in our day, homes that don't even have a father often, especially in the inner city. And having been one that experienced some of that world, you need to know, God honors those who honor him. If you're a parent, even if you're married, but a single Christian parent, I pray that you be encouraged by this. Because despite anything, Timothy found Jesus Christ. He was raised in the way of Jesus Christ right at the beginning of the early church. And God honored his mother and grandmother in that process. Paul himself considered Timothy as a son. We see his name show up in many books in the New Testament. He continued to disciple him, mentor him, and Timothy was a dear companion to Paul in all of his travels. One of my favorite things to do here at Grandview that I've been involved with, far more than I anticipated, was a confirmation class. You've heard me talk about it from the front, hanging out with some of the teenagers in this church and going through the Bible every week. What a joy. It's just been a thrill for me to train your kids, to help them understand who God is. There's so much to learn, and there's so much to talk about. This year, we're going to be covering the New Testament, and I would harbor your prayers as we dive into that and cover the whole New Testament in this school year. And it brings me to a verse that is found in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, actually, 3:16. Should be easy to remember. 2 Timothy, you got to remember the second part, 3:16 and 17. This is the NLT also. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. And along with teaching the Bible to our children, helping them understand the verses and making them real, a principle I want you always to remember and know. It's about 15 or 20% what you say and over 80% what you do. Our children are watching us closely. They're going to duplicate the good, the bad, and the ugly more than anything we say. So the best thing you can do as a parent, or those who have influence on kids, is to live a life that's pleasing with God, is to live a life that honors Jesus Christ. Lois and Eunice were really some of the first disciples we read about in Scripture. And their most important student was their own child, their own grandchild. That's a lesson in itself. As we look to disciple others, we start with our children, making sure they know and fear God. We surround them with that truth. We marinate them, if you will. They need to know that you believe that God is your source for living life, that you find the Bible God's voice as you live your life, that you refer to God to find out how you should live the way he would have you live. Well, if you're like me, this is very challenging. It is. If you're like me, you're a sinner. At times, you're even messy. You make mistakes. You are far from perfect. Every once in a while, I am told, you did well. Your kids grew up as good Christian kids, and I'm extremely thankful for that. But you know what? I have to give the credit to God. Because through messy days, through hard times, God was right there. And I'm thankful for my children and how they've lived their lives. But I never lose sight of the fact that it was God who touched their lives. No, we're all sinners. And that's why God sent his son to help us with that sin. But he did something so incredible, we just take it for granted. We don't even think about it. Because sometimes we feel alone. And God gave us his very own spirit to live in our lives, to guide our hearts, to help us not only live the way he'd have us live, but to teach us how to guide our children, to teach us how to guide other people. It's an awesome thing. So when you think of discipling your children, what should you think about? It's important that they follow Jesus Christ and know who he is. And it's a responsibility we need to take care of. I think of four categories quickly. I think of knowledge, helping our children learn about the Word of God. It's about helping them walk their days with the Word of God. It's about faith, having a solid belief in the truth, in the promises of God. It drives a steadfastness. It drives a commitment as we're faithful. The third one is character, a heart that's true with God. And you tell it's true because you can see someone with character that guards their affections, their desires, their will, their thoughts, their emotions. Those are important areas. Said another way, who are you when no one's looking? Because that's what your kids see. Action. What do you do? Obedience in the areas of sexual purity, relational honesty, and godly living. As evidence in your worship, your relationships, your spiritual disciplines, your ministry efforts inside and outside the church, your generosity in even your work. Whatever your Christian background, whatever your upbringing. No, this is the words that Jesus Christ gave us, his direct words, just as he was leaving us and ascending up into heaven. Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Don't discover disciples. Don't just stumble over them. Make disciples. And it starts with us first. As Christians, we need to keep on track. We need to keep on track with how God would have us live and to study his word to prepare for what he'd have us do. I mean, examine the influence of people you have around you, but especially the kids. Over my life, especially in my adult years, I've been fascinated with the area of discipling. And discipling involves a lot. I mean, it's a series of sermons all by itself. And so I'm going to like machine gun a bunch of action points here. I'm just going to give you a bunch of bullet points I have, and it covers three categories. It covers teaching, being an example, and being involved. And there's like 5 points for each one, so hang on to your hats. These are discipleship action points. Teach the value of Scripture. And as we've talked about, know it yourself. Teach that God's word is for correcting and training in righteousness. Use it. Teach the fear and greatness of God. It's shown in the Old and New Testament. God is the creator of all things. Our children, different than our society, need to fear God. Teach the love of God as shown in the life of Jesus. What a great example of a loving God, a holy God finding a way for an unholy people to be in relationship. And teach what a disciplined life means with truth and grace. What it means to live in an unholy world as God would have us. Next category, be an example. Use God's word in your own life. Meditate on it. Study it. Memorize it. My confirmation kids would know, I study with memorizing, but it's a solid thing to do and to know. Be an example of generosity, discipline, and faithfulness. Share. Give well. Do it in tangible ways. Be an example of godliness in speech and action. For us Gordons, think before you speak. Act. Think about how you act. Be an example of the Ten Commandments. What better way to show your faith? And finally, be an example of what loving others look like. What it means to love others. In the last category, be involved with biblical community. Be involved with your church. But But also, look to be involved with others. Maybe a small accountability group where you can share your struggles and they can help you keep on target. Be involved and attend church regularly, weekly. Show your faithfulness in regular attendance. It doesn't mean you're not going to miss once in a while. We understand that. But do that with balance. This is one of my favorites. Be involved as a spiritual leader. Show what it means. Let your actions speak so loud people can't hear what you're saying. Be involved with sharing the gospel with others, by yourself and with others from your church. And finally, be involved with serving others. Nothing shows the heart of Jesus Christ than serving others, letting your heart shine for other people. In short, we just need to be honest followers of Jesus Christ. Not in weird ways, not in ways that would turn people off, but with godly, wise, mature actions. We need to look to see how we can help others step closer to God. And you know, maybe it means we ask for help. We ask for someone else to help us. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and initiate when the Holy Spirit prompts us. Always remember, as Christians, we're accountable to God in how we live our lives, but especially how we raise our children. Don't look to just be a quiet follower of God. Don't just be quietly faithful. In the eyes of your children, be loudly faithful. Look to worship, to grow, to live well. And may God say, as he said to Lois and Eunice, I'm sure you were faithful. Let me pray. Father, our heart finds great joy in our children. Our hearts find great strength as we think of your Spirit in us to help us do with that thing, those activities we can't do on our own. Lord, thank you for being with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.